At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Go Bucks, man. It's my alma mater.
Okay.
All right. I was like, is this a trick?
Possibly. Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. We're here at Al Spirits and Music. Backwards today. Usually I'll have the guests play a 3-song set, and then we'll do the interview. But we just sat down and listened to the entire new album that's coming out on the 21st. I had the Stiftones, Rachel and Joan.
Hello, everyone.
But I wanted to go off the cuff right now. Just walk away, take away from that record, man. Great job.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Alan. Appreciate that, man.
Congratulations. I know it's been a long time coming.
Yes, it has. Yeah. Yes, it has.
So, man, tell me a little bit about just how it was born and how it developed into what it is now.
All right. Well, the title of it is Existentialism on Main Street, Folly Ado. It was born in a little Midwestern town of like Greenville, Mulberry Grove, Smithboro, Pocahontas.
Bond County,
At large agricultural area in southwest Illinois, I'm sorry. And so the album starts off with Midwestern Town, which is the mise-en-scene of kind of the album where it all started, where Rachel and I largely lived our adult lives, you know, raising children before we met each other. And then we met each other in said little, country town, and at an open mic, and we got together and started playing and singing, and got rid of our kids.
Well, that took a while.
That took a while. That was a long process. So that's kind of where it started, and we've been running around the country. Started with a porch talk, I guess, initially with a phone call when we were in Nashville initially. And then coming down to Kennedy, Alabama for the original porch.
Ever had a crawfish bowl?
Yes, indeed. Boy, that was delicious. Yes.
Was that the first year or was it the second year we did that?
I want to say it was the first.
It might have been. I'm
trying to remember, because then we had the food truck the next year.
Year two and three, we had those food trucks.
Food trucks, yeah.
That's right,
yeah.
Okay.
Which I thought was his most ridiculous thing.
It could be cool. I mean, it's done places. It can work. But, you know, when you're first starting anything, it always takes a little bit of time to work out all the
kinks.
Yeah. That's true.
Kind of like segue into the same way with the album. It's taken us a long time, we had no idea what we were doing. And so we had to learn how to do it. Trial by fire. So, most of the songs were partially written before Sean and I met, and then, but we spent the last 14 years building them together, and then the last 5 years road testing them and really letting them kind of create their own presence. And then we
had the, of course, the pesky task of trying to teach ourselves to be engineers, because we've recorded a couple of these songs at different points, but we were kind of not. We didn't get the results we were looking for because we weren't shooting in the direction of the results we were trying to get, I guess, maybe, if that makes sense. We were just kind of stabbing around in the dark, feeling around, trying to figure it out. So then we had to kind of figure that stuff out and, how to produce our own stuff and sing vocals, all that kind of stuff. So it took us quite a while.
You hear in your head what you want it to sound like, and then you go to the microphone and you record it, and it's like, Well, that's not how I heard it.
Well, and not only that, and I mean, not to give too much away, I highly encourage people to, did y'all got like QR codes or anything? Did y'all give out last night for like a early release?
No. We haven't even actually mentioned it yet. I mean, like a few close friends and stuff know that it's done and it's been out there, but we haven't made anything like public yet. I think it's just it's still so like we're done and just like
trying to accept the fact.
Accept the fact that it's done.
What do I do now?
So, you know, like it or not, it will be released through DistroKid on September 21st digitally. There's no hard copies or anything like that, but you'll be able to find it on Spotify and Amazon and iTunes. And we'll do a Bandcamp thing. We'll have a pre-release, you know, make it available.
But we would certainly like to make hard copies, but with the, you know, being a traveling band, you know, with, you know.
Well, our favorite band and two of our favorite bands and partially the inspiration for Sean and I even being together, I mean, Cracker and Camper Van Beethoven, are having their annual camp out again this year. So David and Johnny are the founding members of Cracker and their birthday's September 11?
10, I think.
10? One of those.
One of those days.
Yeah. But I'm not that creepy. I'm just a little creepy. But anyway, they have a party for their birthday. They have they play a set for their birthday. So they did camp out for years, and they did the last one in 2019. And we went to that, and they're doing another one this year in Pioneertown. And so it was like, oh, man, we want to go. But it's a long way to get to California, Southern California. And there's a lot of empty real estate in between here and there. So we had to really make some choices about whether or not we wanted to go.
We really decided we really, really wanted to go. So we're going to digitally release the album. So
water pump tires and oil change and all of that stuff trumped making CDs.
Yes.
And because we have to anyway, if we want to stay on the road, we want Tiny to keep going.
We likely will perhaps try to crowdsource if there's a demand for CDs or vinyl.
Wouldn't that be sweet? And, from your lips to God's ears, let there be a demand.
We will definitely love to print them.
We designed the album art together. Sean kind of came up with the concept, and then I drew it. And so it's a lot of personal touches. I think this is probably as close to a child that Sean and I could have together.
True.
Yeah, first child. Second one should go much easier.
That's good. And just back to the album just for a second is On a Whim and something else I liked about the recording. There's the train. Let me stick my phone out of the window and record it. And not only you just captured that town. Well, this is what it sounds like. Mm. Like, hell, y'all been down to the Blue Front Cafe.
Yes.
How many?
I have met Mr. Jimmy Duck Holmes.
How many of Jimmy's songs just mention a train?
A few. I'll tell you, funny story about meeting him. I said, "You're Mr. Jimmy Duck Holmes." He said, "Don't mean nothing to me." I said, "Oh." I said, "Ooh, you're real. You're real as shit." Man. But yeah, yes. Yeah, it's quintessential from where we're from, you know, like there's lots of abandoned coal mines, like they're coal mining still is a bit of a industry there, but not like it was. Of course, agricultural hauling lots of grain and all that. So trains are always, you can hear them in the distance somewhere.
And in addition to that, on the song These Times, the air raid siren that you hear in that is also this siren, the tornado siren, the air raid siren from our town. And that, too, it was December of last year. We were trying to finish it up, recording it, because we wanted to release as a single on whatever day that is, Leap Day. And I happened to be sitting out there. It's 10 o'clock. It's the first Tuesday of the month, and the siren goes off. And so I finally stuck the phone out the window and recorded
it. So, we've actually recorded several, like Midwestern Town has the train in it. These Times has the siren. And some of those tracks were actually recorded in Tanya, the hearse herself. So this album is notably partially recorded in our
house. They've also been recorded in my mom's attic and in my dad's woodshed and
a cave
in South Dakota. And
we have a couple tracks that were recorded in a studio, but mostly
been tracks recorded in Southern California.
Mostly just kind of hodgepodge all over the country.
And then we have lots of our friends on it as well. Yeah. Lots of friends involved.
Include as many of our friends as we could kind of pack on there.
Yeah. So that's going to be kind of our modus of operandi for the next one, even to try to include people that we know and that we enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just to give people a little bit better idea of y'all's background and story, I mean, it's the first time that we've had a camera. when y'all look at it, we're getting fancy out here. But
I know, I'm trying to forget it.
I'm looking worse than ever.
And
it's fantastic.
And so it may be somebody's first time, like, getting to know y'all is just the way I describe it when people are coming to town. I was like, there's going to be a hearse. And what? I said, they travel the country in a hearse. They're traveling bards. That's what they do. They gave up everything to chase this dream. And, I mean, share as much as you'd like to, but, I mean, it's getting to a point to where the harassment and just the shakedowns is getting so much to where y'all are thinking about changing.
I'm not thinking about changing. I'm going to rail as hard as I can for as long as I can.
As long as I can,
tell you that.
I will tell you that. But
it's definitely something that we have to consider, and it's a new, you know, I mean, it's always been kind of a concern in our head. You always worry about getting, you know, run off or, you know, being poorly welcomed somewhere. But, you know, with the current climb of things and you know, homelessness being like, we don't consider ourselves homeless, but we are definitely unhoused and
partially. But it's also, but there's also that thing where if we're going to talk about that, we also have to say that not all unhoused or homeless or whatever
not
you want to call
unhoused
them. I don't
people,
care.
You know, prefer nomenclatures
or whatever. But not all of those folks are actually really actually looking to be in a square house. You know, and I know it sounds very strange to say it that way.
I mean, I know I don't have the answers. I know enough to know I don't.
We're
have
largely
answers.
Feral. We live in Tanya, and so you know, you're kind of hard pressed to get me to come in at night. You know, I'm like a feral cat, you know, or a dog or something. Like, no, I'm good out here, guys. You know, just give me a little food, and I'll stay out under the stars. You know. But it's, you know, it's a choice.
I was a nurse for 18 years in addition to that. I mean, I lived inside a concrete box during that time, and I know I go back to that a lot. But, you know, I spent 12 hours a day, you know, 6 days a week in a concrete box listening to other people talk about their lives, being a part of their lives. And so to now be on the other side of it and have this weird freedom where I am the master of my own calendar. I, you know.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, the good, the bad, the ugly. I mean, I'm responsible for myself. Yeah. And we set out on this with one mission, and it's morphed and morphed and morphed and morphed. I mean, the mission, I guess, is still the same, but I think that I've gotten back more than I've expected to.
Certainly.
I tell you, I was really touched by the album and the production of it. Great job on that. But also, just tip of the hat to really how I think about y'all is like, traveling and playing and doing what you did. You did a good job of like capturing like the essence of what it means
thank
to be
you.
A traveling bard.
Thank you.
And it is an art in itself, and it's just different. It's no, like, you know, I've been the fortunate enough to go to other countries and be around like different, like, you know, not against it, not for it, but the gypsy culture and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I mean, it's mm-hmm. all
fascinating.
It's very fascinating.
Completely fascinating.
So, I mean, I couldn't, like you said, the good, the bad, the ugly, it's like, whether great, whether bad, here we are.
Yeah, well, you know, when I lived my 9-to-5 life, that's what we call it now, I suffered from depression and angsty and anxiety and all of the things that, you know, I thought was because of my situation, that if I changed my situation, that those things would go away. And so I changed my situation, and they did go away because I didn't have those ones anymore. I had new ones. And so it was, I still had to wade through the depression and the anxiety and all the other things just in a new situation. And so, you know, learning that, you know, perspective really is a thing. And, you know, you can make it as good or as bad as you want to. And there's been many days when we could look at our situation as completely dire. But fortunately, we have great friends and support, and they always give us a little up and helps us change our
mind. That's been the best part. I just want to throw this in there. The best part of the whole adventure, you know.
It feels to walk up and see you.
There's the whole bit where it feels really great to be a Goonie and go on your bike ride and set off on the adventure. I mean, it does. I'm, you know, Stand By Me, and you guys want to see a dead body, like, man, let's go. And that's kind of the bit, you know. But the best part about it is, in fairness, all the friends, like, I mean, when I say friends, I mean family-level friends that we've made all around the country.
Well, it's a certain style of people. It's a genre of people to me. It's there are those who get it, and there are those who just can't understand it.
True about everything.
True.
Yeah.
Myself included. Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that's why, like, you know, same with y'all. I consider y'all friends slash family. And
agreed, Alan.
You know, in the way that, like, whenever y'all come to town, it's kind of that feeling, really. Here's a brand new chapter. Here's a brand new saga. Like, what's it must be getting that time of the year, you know?
Must be April.
Yeah,
right.
April or October is usually.
Uh-huh.
We've been fool enough to come down here in August twice now.
Oh,
I think.
Man.
But it's always nice to have y'all around.
Thank you.
I gotta say, I just want to give props to you and the community that you have grown and that you've introduced us to, and watching even Munson and Brothers and seeing how it's branched out and it's grown, and it's just that it brings us so much joy to come back to places that we have been to and to see it, you know, growing and thriving. And
yeah, you'll see us kind of change a little bit with time, and we get to see the same, you know. It's really, really awesome.
This was a pretty big change.
Dude, this
I
is know, huge. Dude.
I was like,
this
I told
awesome.
Rachel, like, do you believe that Alan bought a liquor store?
It's been a fun venture, man. And like, right when I mean, that's why it's Al Spears and music. I knew the moment I started that LLC, I was like, music's gonna get incorporated.
Yeah, you knew what you were doing. Yeah,
and like, can't legally be open on Sunday, closed on Sunday.
You know,
it's right? A music series.
I mean, you know. It's brilliant,
and it's a perfect excuse to have friends traveling through, be like, hey, I got room on the counter, come on in.
It's great.
And cause I'm considering changing Porch Fest a little bit, like with this and it being so frequent on the music side of things, like we're practically doing Porch Fest every Sunday, just one artist at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have these podcast interview versions where, like, if you want the other side of the tape, here it is,
mm-hmm.
along with the music.
Yeah.
And I don't really see the need for Porch Fest, but then I think about it, and I was like, I think if I was going to change,
I
would dial it back. I would dial it back to maybe a day and just go light and just, like, hey, it's Porch Fest this year. We decided to dial everything back. Because this past one, it was, and I probably didn't have enough help, but it was a little.
Herding cats.
Yeah.
It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like it.
And I lost my cool a few times, and I was like, I remember sitting right next to Webb or John. Hell, it might have been both of them. And I said, I'll do this again, man. But I was like, if we do it this big again, I'm not going to be able to go. I can't attend my own festival.
Yeah.
This is going to kill me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's.
You can understand that, certainly. Yeah, it was pretty big. It's been getting bigger and bigger, and it's pretty big now, you know. I mean, you know.
I think it's probably gotten big enough that you probably would be able to get more help from people. I know, like, even just last night, yesterday at Munson's, I mean, everybody's talking about it. I mean, it's something that everybody talks about all year long and kind of looks forward to it. And I think if, and
it's
I know that we're all aware, you know, that it's a lot of work, but to know that, you know, hey, this could go away if we don't, you know, maybe,
yeah,
do it a little.
Get some teamwork going.
You know.
It does. It's
wave,
like,
the flag. We'll come running.
It's like anything else, man. It's, I try to make things as easy and painless as possible, but that usually makes it, I try to make it easier on everybody else, and I load myself up too much.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but everybody wants to be part of something, and people like to have a role, and they like to have a purpose, you know, and so, you know, we, as people pleasers and doers, we always want to take on, but it also is pleasing to people to give them something to do,
sure.
So if there's something that we could do to help be able to make sure that it gets to continue, please.
I'm just trying to figure it out. Taking this on takes a lot out of me too.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
She has her running business, a serious business.
I'm just trying to find the balance.
Yeah. Well, you got to do whatever you have to do for you ultimately, and so yeah,
then
we'll support you in whatever you just.
And then there's the possibility of, I love doing it at Munson Brothers. Love it there. But this town don't even have a festival. Why can't it be the town's thing? So they just had they just elected a new mayor, and I'm curious.
Alan's gonna be the mayor. One of these days you're gonna be the mayor, I think.
But I think there's an opportunity for change in a positive direction, in my opinion. I could be wrong.
There's always an opportunity for change in a positive direction.
Like anytime, like I love like local politics because things do change.
And that's where the most important part is.
Yeah.
That's where politics really happens. That's where, you know, we can all argue about the President of the United States, but he doesn't know your name. He's not going to be the one to come and kick your door in when you stop paying your taxes. And, you know, he's not the one to show up at your schools. It's your neighbors. It's the people, you know, the guy that owns the liquor store and the people that are going to church on Sundays. And those are the people that are making, that are affecting your daily lives. That's who you should know. Who's on your city council and are they representing you? And you know, so I totally agree. Local change is where it's at.
Yeah, and so like big change around here. Big change in the neighboring town. They're the only town left in this county that's hasn't gone wet. When they win, if they do, that makes the county officially wet. Then I could build me a back patio. It could be because this is a lounge. By the state, it's legal. If I wanted to build a bar, you could come in here and I could serve you a beer.
That's what's up.
But not in this town.
Gotcha. Yes indeed. We were from a town just like that.
Yeah, we're from our town has been undergoing that. Whenever we were children, it was a dry town. It was a dry town up until just the last couple decades,
which is also wild because historically the first business in our hometown
was a bar.
just you know, times change and they change again, you know. This is what it is.
Yeah. Well, what have y'all what you been learning lately on the road? What's something life's been kind of teaching you?
Humility. Humble. Be humble. What else?
Respecting yourself and others. Yeah. I mean, really, and respecting everybody's right to an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. You can share it if you want to, but it's yours, and you can't expect anybody else to pick it up. That's what I learned. I'm extremely opinionated.
we were in South Dakota. Fat Boys. We were at Fat Boys in South Dakota, I believe. An indigenous lady, one of the Oglala Sioux ladies there, came in, and we were chatting, and she said that she has a slang, there's some sort of slang that they use whenever they say, whenever you talk to someone about it, and they're like, well, I don't know if I agree, or if I don't really agree or disagree. I really just, you know, I don't have an opinion on that, or I don't know enough about it to make it a... So what they say is... Adwala. So whenever somebody says, oh, this, and you're like, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that or not. You know, I'm just going to kind of abstain an opinion. You'd say Adwala, which is like Oglala slang for, you know. That's one of the things I learned on the road.
Got to be a lot of that, huh?
Well, I've been using that a lot. It's here of late, especially if somebody says something like, Adwala. Yeah. What'd you say? Just walk away.
I don't know if I'm getting older or what it is, but man, I've been kind of having to learn that too. I think the older I get, the more irritable I'm becoming, and like there'll be some conversations that get started, and I was like, not touching it.
Nope. I get that grumpy old man syndrome.
Not me. I'll jump right in. You want to have that conversation? We'll have that conversation. Let's have it. I'm willing to have it. But again, it's my opinion, that's your opinion, and we might not agree, but you know, as long as you keep your opinion and I keep mine, and I'm gonna go about my business and you go about yours. That's my personal, I like my freedoms, and so therefore I have to respect you to have yours.
Well, we got the album dropping on September 21st. Is there anything of 2-3 weeks out from now, practically.
Yeah.
Any particular reason on the date?
Yes, actually. Mm-hmm. So the magician, anybody that knows us knows that the magician is a very important person in our world. Mm-hmm. And I don't usually cry that he's gone because I don't feel like he's gone.
Mm. You're an asshole for that.
I know, I can't help it. It just came out of nowhere. But anyway, he passed over in March on the equinox on March 20th. Alien abduction day, nonetheless. And so we are having a celebration, an Exodus celebratorium for him in Brunswick, Georgia on September 20th, and which is, you know, the equinox as well. So the day after, we're marking that by releasing our album, because Richard was been a part of it from with us from practically the beginning. And he was the guy that we would send, like, scratch tracks to, and what do you think about this, and are you seeing the direction, are you feeling it? And, you know, most of the time we didn't actually need anything from him other than just, you know, him to do exactly what he did, which was just listen and tell us that he loved us and keep going. And so that's why. And this is the 21st, and the 21st is his birthday, is also his daughter's birthday day and one of my daughter's birthday day. And so it just, it was a good, it was a good number.
Right on. I was just curious. I felt like the date had a little...
It did, and we've been kind of like... And that was where the making of the CDs, and we could have waited so that we could make physical copies to have them, you know, at the same time we do the release, but then that would push it off for several more months, and we really wanted it to kind of be tied to something meaningful with Richard, so that's where we're hard and fast on that date.
Right on. Travel's coming up. Plans. What you got on the calendar?
So on Tuesday, we're going to be at the Church Studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That was where Leon Russell founded Shelter Records.
And thanks to the magician.
The magician introduced us to Leon Russell.
He's like, hey, kids, you ever heard of Leon Russell? I said,
well,
no.
Check this out.
Yeah.
And if the shoe fits.
Yeah. They ain't nothing like the first time you ever hear him.
Oh, yeah.
Blew my brain.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's like first time I heard Leon, I was like, man, this don't even feel real, man. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Same way I feel about it. Like, this is unadulterated. Just
kicked my rock and roll brain right open.
Yeah, man. Just
I think that you'll definitely hear where Leon got a hold of us for certainly in the second album.
By the second album, you can tell Leon got a hold of us.
So Sean's been growing this scruff out for nine months since we got this thing. And so they do... kind of similar to this, where they have tunes at noon. And so we're playing Tuesday at noon at the Church Studios. And then it comes with a tour and 2 hours of studio time. And John Lennon's recording on that board. And we all know that the board, I mean, yes, you can sound good on a board, but you can also sound good not on a board. But it's still cool to be that close to that cool of a board. Chicken on dogs.
Yeah, so
that
thought
history.
I thought I heard something earlier.
I hear noise out there. I just make sure he hasn't gotten loose.
Yeah. He's not gotten loose.
That would be bad for somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody. Whoever opened that door.
Oh.
So anyway, so then after that, then we head to Albuquerque, then we head to New Mexico, and then we'll see some friends in Arizona, and then we head over to California for the Cracker Thing. Camp out.
Go see a whole bunch of our
friends. It's going to be like this big musical, just like love fest. It's great music, great people, and it's going to be, we're really looking forward to it. And then after that, we burn and turn straight back to Georgia for Richard's thing, and then we head to North Carolina and we pick up Chet. And Chet Nichols, one of the best living singer-songwriters that we have encountered in our travels.
And some of the best live delivery you ever seen on a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, he's even better. I mean, I love listening
his music,
to his music.
But man, live.
But live, punches you right in the, gets you.
Right.
So we're going to pick him up and bring him back to Illinois with us. And he's going to do some shows with us in Illinois at the Music Box and then also at Laura's Secret Garden. And then we head to New York. And then we'll be near Washington, D.C. for another memorial. And then back to North Carolina. And around and around. And around and around. We'll be even in Colorado and Wyoming in between now and then.
that'll be something else that I think would be great, and I think right on y'all's turf and territory. But physical, whether CD, vinyl, whenever it comes, is, man, you know how fun it was? The most fun about that record I cut was going to indie record stores, pitching the record. Try me. I'd bust one open. Listen to it. Let's listen to it together. It's like, okay, I'll take that. You know, just kind of building that relationship up.
Our fantasy is Dick to drive around with a couple of them at, you know, at all times and be able to, you know.
Yeah. But just, you know, they're on consignment, but it's like, it's that back to that genre or style of people to where, like, he's a head, and he's going to tell other heads. Now you got the people that like that style of music, they're on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know who Loretta Lynn is, right? Mm-hmm. Loretta Lynn?
Oh, yes, I do.
You know, her and they got in the car, and drove around to the radio stations and made them play her records. That's what they did.
That's kind of what we've been doing.
So that's kind of that's
taking people hostage.
That's what we say when our like modus of operandi is. Nobody's coming looking for you. You gotta go force feed yourself upon them.
That's always the funnest and most interesting part to me is, like, that's proof of concept. I think as musicians or anybody creative, I talked about this a few episodes back. I'd like to open it up again. We're observant, sometimes narcissist, and we're looking and writing and telling these stories that we've seen personally or have been told, and oftentimes just validation is completely gone. You're just looking for anything, and then that proof of concept is, well, I can't even give this shit away, you know?
Well, that's something, because we talked about that on one of the podcasts with you, with the proof of concept, and that was one of the things with the album that was, you know, kind of burning a hole in our butt was, you know, when do we know and how do we know, and, you know, always looking at other people for validation and listen to this, and people would give their feedback, and a lot of times they'd comment on something that we were like, but we like that, we picked that on purpose. No, we were talking about this. And that was when we decided, you know what, it doesn't matter. We need to make it so that when we listen to it, I want to listen to it, and that when we listen to it, then we enjoy it. You know, I do drawings and art, and I hate when I look at my art and I don't like it. I like looking at my art when it feels good. And I wanted the same for the album, and that was our proof of concept. Mm-hmm. And that was every time we knew if we could, that one note or that one whatever it was, then it had to go. It had to go. And so
we had to make ourselves happy, and that was, in the end, that was ours.
So there might be things in there that irritate people, and there might be some things in there we missed, because we got told, you know, that we've listened to these songs so many times in their demo version that, you know, we've lost sight of them to an extent, because, you know, we were firm on what it was that we wanted to sound like, and we had that.
We were like, well. We could have gone a couple different ways with production on especially the front of the album, but.
Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Decided ultimately we really wanted it to sound
like our Midwestern town, like what it sounds like. We wanted it to sound like what it sounds like.
Respect.
So you don't have to like it. I do. I've listened to it probably, I don't know, 1,000 times, and every time I'm like, that's my album.
I mean, we just sat with it front to back. I mean, You know, and right when you was telling me a little bit about it before you put it on, and you were telling me it's kind of a, you know, it's a concept record. I was like, I like concepts. And, you know, and just from the open of it, it's like, is there things that I hear or things I would have done different? Yeah, but it's not mine. The way it was done was the way it was supposed to be. And just accept it, man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sorry. We'll do three more questions. We'll walk around the door. How's the best place to keep up with y'all for those listening and watching? Social media, website, what's the best way to stay in touch?
Well, I'm highly active on the Facebook because, you know, I'm Gen X and, you know, a MySpace baby, and I landed in Facebook land and it works for me. Sean kind of does the Instagram a little bit, but, and then we have a website, and I do.
Mostly I try to stay off Facebook and social media because I have a.
I didn't mean to cough in the microphone, sorry.
Pissing people off, and as my friends say, Sean, you have a way about you. And so I
wanted to punch him the first time I met him.
I like it when you stop in.
Thanks, Nat.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
It's like, man, there was a, and I don't want to get into too much detail, but you said exactly what I would have said. It was sour grapes. And the people that was picked to be a part of this, and I guess he didn't make the cut.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And man, you tit for tat said exactly what I would have said.
He has such a way with it too, doesn't he? He's so good at it. That's why I usually let him go and
Felt like there's a lot of people that have put a lot of heart and time and effort and thought into this thing, and man, I just didn't feel like he, you know, not to talk about it, but you know, didn't feel like he did the same whenever he said that, and maybe he should, I don't know, maybe.
Well, because again, the beautiful thing about music and art is it is subjective.
It is.
And if it wasn't subjective, and if there was hard and fast rules and for everything, then most of us wouldn't get to do it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I wouldn't have wanted to be the judge. Been a judge yesterday.
So whoever that was judging it, they decided that it was their choice and it was their right to choose, and that's the way it works. Like it.
Lots of talented people, man. I wouldn't want to have to be the one to pick.
No, that was amazing. No. That was amazing. To be petty unless your name's Tom.
That's right. We always say if you're going to be petty, try to be Tom Petty.
Yeah. That's a good one. I thought the whole thing was bizarre. And, you know, thankfully, man, I wasn't involved in picking anything. Did I sit down and listen to everything, everyone? Yes. I'm glad I didn't have to do it.
Oh, man, I couldn't even imagine.
And I disqualified myself immediately. When I saw the names and the list of people that was on it, I said, I would be partial.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't be a part of this.
Yeah, totally understand that.
I had to step out.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, I think the thing is, the thing that was missed by that gentleman is that this was something that was put together so that everybody wins. And what I mean by that, it's not everybody gets a trophy in that kind of negative way. What I mean is, this is something that was put together. Everybody gets to participate, and everybody gets to win. You know, it's an event that was nothing, and now there's a reason to get together with people.
Right, because even if your song didn't get selected, you can still come and listen to the ones that did. Yeah. You can be inspired.
You might meet your best collaborator, friend, there's so much to win even
from not being, you know, selected.
Yeah,
just being a part of something, it matters.
There was one cat, I guess he knew I had listened to everything, and he didn't make the selection, and he wrote me, and he was like, "Did you hear my song?" I said, yeah, I heard both of them, I did. And he said, just out of curiosity, man, and be honest, he said, "What happened?" I was like, "Well, dude, if I was part of it, the guitar work, the composition of the song is fine." I said, "The problem is your words. I can't relate to you. I don't know what the hell you're talking about."
Because it's subjective.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I said, "You told me to be honest with you." And I was like, "I don't know if there's anything you can do to fix it. And I don't know why you would change it. It's just me."
Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly, man.
Right, I mean, they're your people. stand behind them.
Yeah, and, exactly.
Know, either stand behind it or don't, and that.
That's
kind of what we had to learn about ours. We cried many a times trying to be, you know, because you want to win the popularity contest. You know, we're kind of bred for that. But then realizing that, no, it's not. And you know, we always say that we're not in it for the you know, the money or the fame, even though we always make jokes about wanting to be, you know, famous and, you know, disgusting. We want to have more money than we know what to do with, of course. I mean, but truthfully, that's not what we're here for. It's, I don't know exactly what, but the adventure has certainly been worth it.
It's a big part of it.
But yeah, but if you're going to create something and create art, then you had better do it for something more than just somebody else's approval, because you will be let down.
Yes, indeed, you will.
Yeah, it's kind of back to that validation thing, right?
Yeah.
I fell into that pit, that little pitfall, pit hole, pit. I fell into it for months. The only time I would pick the guitar up is if I was going to host that open mic. I wouldn't take it out of the case in the bedroom. I kept a guitar here forever. Ended up giving it away. But anyway, I liked the way the guy played it. I was like, I think that motherfucker's yours, dude.
Yeah, right. I don't think that's a cool
concept, though, because there's tons of cheap guitars people always giving away. You can have it where you have them here, and then you can just... We give away guitars all the time. Somebody, you know, will cross our paths with one, and we'll pay it forward.
Yeah. Does. Like, there's a good many of guitars in rotation right now, and I learned that from Fire Camino.
Mm-hmm.
Dude's brilliant.
Oh, man.
I love some Fire Camino, dude.
That's my crazy, buddy there.
Crazy son of a bitch. I love him.
Bottom lightning.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think the world could use a little bit more fire in there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I agree. I try to plan as many things as I can with him.
Oh, heck yeah.
Well, speaking of which, we got a t-shirt that if he needs to come by here, Fire, if you're out there, come by Isle Spirits, because he's got a t-shirt for you.
Yeah.
I think I remembered to bring it. I've been carrying it around with you for 2 years.
Been carrying it around for a while. It's
but then I took
it
out because we were cleaning out the earth, and then I took it out, and I was like, ah! And then I remembered to put it back in, and then I think
it's in there.
Yeah.
All the shirt show I've done in the past, like I love it whenever I see the monkey shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That thing still floats around.
Dude, I saw one at
Munson
Brothers.
Last night, one of the kids in the kitchen had one on. He was like, I thought you guys were going to be here next week. He was like, I just wore this random. I'm like, that's great.
Cameron.
Yeah, Cameron.
Hey, sweet fella.
Yeah, we have quite a few people out there. It's pretty fun, you know, go out in the wild and see people him. In their shirts. And our friend Sarah Jane was making shirts there for a while. And, so you get to see, like, our friend Aaron made some shirts, and then we have three of our own designs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can tell, like, which era it was that people knew us, depending on what shirt they're wearing. It's kind of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
I keep mine pristine. I wear it around the house when I'm not doing anything.
Oh, and which one do you have?
Oh, this is the one with the faces.
Oh man, okay. The soft one with my mug on it.
The gray one with the water tower is the softest, though.
Yeah.
If we ever get to make t-shirts again, that's the kind I'm doing.
Oh, that's one thing I've been loving doing with those shirts is and making good shirts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't do like that. Don't go cheap.
Don't mm-hmm. do it, man.
Don't do it.
Like, wear something you would cut grass in. Wear something that you would go to town in. You know, make up something nice.
Yeah. Something
don't be a bum.
Something that's comfortable enough for you to sleep in. So you can be a bum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, I live in a hearse.
Hey. All good.
I go for comfort.
Got to. Maximal comfort. Just to give people an idea about a live show, and by the way, you're about to get a little taste of that, a three-song set for Close on Sundays, but how would you describe a Stiff Tone live show right now?
It depends on the hour.
Depends on fairness, depends on the bar or the venue. I mean, am I wrong? Like, I mean, because you go to, we try to play the room. So sometimes you go in and you kind of go in with your more
laid back.
Yeah. And then some places you go in.
We get booked recently to play this show on a Sunday afternoon, and it was said it was a hotel. I'm not going to say the name out loud or anything, but it was something hotel, and it was a Sunday, so I was thinking it was going to be like a brunch Sunday, you know, quiet, you know, like play our pretty songs, and No, it was not a hotel. It used to be a hotel, but it's changed over to a bar. And everybody there on Sunday was there at the church of the bar. And they had no intention of listening to Pretty Little Light songs. They wanted us to give them the bar experience. And so we're like, all right. So we did.
So it just depends on the place, really.
Depends on the place, but yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that we mix a little bit of humor, a lot of sweat, and a bit of rock and roll, and, you know, we try to have fun. We used to take it super seriously, and then we'd have meltdowns, and now we're just up there trying to enjoy ourselves and making sure everybody else is, too. But if you're not, at least I'm going to.
That's why I like, for Porch Fest, I always like putting y'all in outside stage, inside stage, because I was like, you're getting two different shows.
Yeah, it was different. You're outside or inside, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it really does depend on where you see us. And the day and the hour, I mean, because, like, it usually takes us a good 45 minutes to get, you know, get the juices
geared up.
Yeah, you play the first set, you know, kind of reading the room, feeling it, seeing what kind of music they're into, and then, you know, the next two sets, you know, you either got them or you don't. And if you don't, then you do your own thing anyway. And if you got them, then you just keep going.
I remember back when we were traveling with Groove Johnson, Cosmic Gravy, we were doing all that. Mm. Man, it was typical to play a 3-4 hour show. We were at rowdier places, and I mean that's what they wanted, that nasty funk blues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And man, I remember one time we got booked to play a 45-minute set. It was the funniest damn conversation. I don't remember. It might have been Hunter that brought it up. He said, 45 minutes? We're just getting warmed up,
right?
He said, I don't know how we're going to do this. I said, we better start in the car and walk it all the way to the stage then.
That's what we
got 45 minutes? Are you kidding me? I'm just going to start warming up.
Two of our last shows were only 2-hour sets, and we were like,
what do we do?
What do we do? Which ones
do
we
do? Oh, my God, what do we do?
Like,
Yeah.
And so we ended up playing for 3 hours.
So our 45-minute set, yeah, that's exactly what we did. Started in the car and went all the way up to the venue.
And then played for 3 hours. Oops.
Well, guys, anything else to do or plug before we wrap this up?
No, not really, other than, you know.
I didn't hear the actual question.
Anything to plug, anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, check out our album, Existentialism on Main Street, Folly Ado, recorded somewhere near you.
Yeah, and the stifftones.com is a good place to find our Bands in Town link, and, like, I do try to put the stuff up there, so there will be a link for the album and all that stuff. Yeah. So if you don't like Facebook, you can go to
stifftones.com.
And you can email us, it's thestifftones. Yeah. @gmail.com
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yes, hate mail.
Send me that hate mail.
Yes. Give him something to rail against.
Give him something to rail against when I get up.
Yeah, something other than me.
I've been real fortunate, man, with that. Whether it be comments, DMs, or emails. Just sweet. I've been waiting on something nasty to happen.
Man,
he used to play video games all the time, and he played Battlefield, and he was on the PlayStation.
I was a griefer.
He would get, like, at least, if he didn't get 2 to 3 hate messages a day, he was like, I'm not doing my job.
You know, go out, so, land helicopters on people, take off, you know, stab people. I mean, just griefing people.
I've rubbed them
until they send me hate mail. I'm like, Rachel, I got one. Take a smoke break.
Let me read it twice.
Oh, yeah, this is great. This is fantastic. He's really,
he's
mad.
I hit a nerve.
Clearly, I had an impact.
I found the button.
I hit his button from all the way over here. But yeah, you can, and also, man, we're pretty friendly, approachable people. So if you just want to say, hey guys, I saw you on the highway or whatever, I'm following you or whatever.
Oh yeah, I love a good Tanya Sutton.
Yeah, we get pictures sent to us a lot.
Yeah.
We love it. Hashtag Tanya Sightings.
That's right.
Yeah. It's a good little collection. Very nice. All right, guys. This is Rachel and Sean Steve, the Stiff Tones. Stifftones.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Bands in Town, September 21st. The record is out. Support that. We are out of here.
Deuces. Sorry, we're a little long.
however you want to do it, introduce yourself or anything you want to say, if you want to tell a story about the song, whatever you want to do, bro.
Hello. Good afternoon. We are the Stiff Tones. We're from Bond County, Illinois, Southern Illinois. Do a song for you about there. It's off our first album, Existentialism on Main Street, Folly Ado. Available September 21st on all streaming platforms. Anything else? Okay. It's a song about a very small agricultural town, and we have trains and cornfields and old abandoned coal mines and stuff like that. So it's kind of that kind of sound.
Midwestern town, you're my home.
What you
That's a song about our little Midwestern town.
And we're going to do one about
I've already lost River? My key. No, I'm just kidding with you. I just mostly did
that.
Oh,
you're so irritating.
Yeah, I already lost one yesterday.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, lost one capo in 24 hours. I've already reached the limit. Limit. It's one of those funny words like ROADS. Limit.
Here's to find things to fight with me about because you can't in public.
You tuned up?
Tuned up
is a bit of me. I'm getting a little... What happened today? Must be all that sweat I had on there. So this next song is from the middle of our album. It's called Jasmine. And it's a song about a girl from a town called Brooklyn, Illinois. And Brooklyn, Illinois is the first black incorporated town in the entire United States. So it's kind of has a historical context as well. Let me do the research on that. But St. Louis and Missouri was still a slave state, and so the bounty hunters would run up and down the river capturing people. And so Brooklyn was one of the first, major stop, at least on the Underground Railroad system. So this is a song about a girl from there.
Jasmine, the same. Gotta be sweating.
Yeah, I was all sweating. All right. Do you remember these times?
Sure.
Part lines.
Sure.
All right. So this next song we're gonna do is off the end of the album, kind of it's a song about these times, and
it's track nine.
It's track nine, called These Times, but it's about a song about polarity and checking on your neighbors, not buying into the extremities of extreme parts of society, or you know, be kind to each other, kind of stuff, you know.
And recognizing your own hypocrisy.
That's right. Because as we like to say, good, bad, or ugly,
it misses none of us.
Yeah, that's right. And we are the, both the heroes and the bad guys at the end of the book. If you read it that long, you'll figure that out too. You know, you get to either be the hero or the bad guy. It's up to you. So it's a song about that, kind of. us, everyone. We got Stiff Tones. Here's your paper bag.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.